with the second pick in the 2017 NFL Draft.
Chicago's sports conversation is now.
The Chicago Bears select Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, wow!
Quarterback, North Carolina.
If we want to be great, you know, you just can't sit on your hands. And there's times when you got to be aggressive, and when you have conviction on a guy, you can't sit on your hands. I just don't want to be average around here. I want to be great.
The Beat on 720 WGN.
We want to be great, too.
How does that not fire up Bears fans? Like, isn't that exactly what you want to hear your general manager say?
I'm more into what he does than what he says, but yes, I suppose. Like, what
but don't you want him to go up and get a quarterback?
This city
is ridiculous. I mean, it drives me crazy. You just spent... I'm talking exactly to you, Carr.
Go ahead, let's go.
You.
Let's go.
How many years have you been trying to get Jay Cutler out of town?
It's about 7.5 years.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Okay. So now he's gone.
Yeah.
You want to play football without a quarterback next year?
No. I would have.
You don't like Mike Glennon.
Okay.
Be honest.
No one
likes Mike Glennon.
I don't like Mike Glennon.
There's a reason he got booed at the that was the Cubs game. I'm getting them confused. We'll get into that later because that's stupid too.
Glennon at the Cubs booed. Trubisky at the Bulls booed. Boo.
How about they have Mike?
What microphone are you on? Why am I not here?
Microphone I'm sitting in front of.
For some reason, the A button was turned off on that microphone. I believe there was a ping pong ball that hit it. Hi.
By the way, I apologize because we got fired off right at the start of the show, and we're starting with a guest.
No. Oh, we have somebody on the line right now? That's right.
Yes, we do.
Well, let's start the show positive, Hogue. Enough with you attacking me on Mitchell Trubisky.
I am trying to be positive. I'm trying to be positive about the Bears' first-round pick, their second-round pick, and
that's
so
true.
On.
Bears.
Head coach Lee Owens, Ashland University. You perhaps had not heard of Ashland University, which is on you and me, for that matter, before the Bears made Adam Shaheen their second-round draft pick. And Coach Lee Owens from Ashland joins us now on 720 WGN, who coached Adam. And this is an athletic freak that's coming to Chicago, is it not, Coach? Because I think Bears fans, as skeptical as they are about perhaps the quarterback that's coming here, there's a lot of excitement about the athletic talent and the ability that Adam has to run and perhaps catch the football a ton from whoever's throwing him the ball.
Got a good one. He's got a great football career ahead of him. I think he's going to be an unbelievable pro.
What do you like most about him?
Well, I'm going to tell you what, he's going to make third downs in red zone a whole lot easier for whoever's quarterback or whoever's the offensive coordinator. He led the country in third downs and in red zone conversions the last 2 years. And it's not because we're offensive geniuses by any means. It's because we had a 6'7" tight end who they just couldn't cover. And so, you know, we talk about talented guys. I just got off the phone with Adam a little bit ago just to compliment him on, you know, if the NFL, if all the guys in the NFL came in to the league with the kind of maturity that this young man has, you know what? It'd be a better league because this is an unbelievable kid. He's an All-American in the classroom. You know, he gives credit to family and coaches and little Division II Ashland University for getting him a chance to be where he's at today. And says all the things right, and that's who he is. I mean, he's that kind of. You're getting a great one.
Well, Coach, I know that. That's part of the reason why Bears general manager Ryan Pace is so fired up about him. They do, in their draft prep, they have like a little Bears logo they put on their draft cards, and they only put those on the guys that they feel like are excellent character fits within that locker room. Yeah. And Adam Shaheen was one of those guys. Can you give us a little bit of background on how he ended up at Ashland? I know just talking to him last night, he's like, I weighed 190 pounds in senior year of high school, went to go play basketball, had no offers for football, and then he saw an Ohio State-Wisconsin game and changed his mind. But it's one thing to just change your mind and then go out and do it. So can you just give us a little bit of background on how he ended up with you?
You know, we knew about him in high school. He was a pretty active receiver, free safety. Just skinny, you know, tall, lean, and we wasn't sure he was a scholarship player, even at our level at that point. But kept an eye on him, and then obviously he made the basketball choice. I think all the great tight ends are playing basketball. I recruited one off the basketball team when I was at Ohio State, Ricky Dudley, a long time ago. I mean, they're all playing basketball. You go into a Division I, II basketball game, and we got a guy here in Cleveland that could play some football, LeBron James. I mean, I wouldn't be a bad-looking tight end if you line him up. So, well, anyhow, he's got those basketball skills and ability to use his body and great hand-eye coordination and timing on his jumps, all those kinds of things that they learn when they play that game. And, you know, but he's just tough. He missed the contact of football. And, you know, that's not a characteristic of a lot of basketball guys. So I think that was the number one reason he made the jump when he did. And obviously when he made that jump, we knew about him. We'd recruited him some, showed some interest when he was in high school, knew about him. And, you know, we're maybe the top private Division II football program in the country. We've got new facilities and, you know, we've had a heck of a run. I think we're 27-4 the last 3 years. You know, his 3 years there were 27-4, so two GLIAC championships, which is a great Division II conference. So, you know, it made sense. You know, he came in, didn't play a whole lot the first year, but after that it was history. I mean, we threw it to him a whole lot, you know, particularly down close to the end zone.
27-4, that must be some good coaching, huh?
Yeah, it's great players, man. That's all it is, great players.
They call him Baby Gronk. What about Rob Gronkowski does he remind you of?
You know, he's a guy that you can take and you can split out, and you know he's athletic like DBs. I mean, he's going to have the size advantage, but he runs like a DB, and you know he's such a mismatch for people to try to cover in space, you know. And then at the same time, you can put him online, and you know he's a physical guy. He'll come off and roll his hips and knock a guy off the ball, you know. So we're a pro offense, and I think a lot of the teams that looked him, the scouts for the Bears and Jeff Schreiber up there, have got a lot of respect for us. You know, he's recruited guys that I've coached at Ohio State and Akron and other places, and you know, I think he does a great job. But I know they appreciate the fact they saw him at slot, they saw him at tight end, you know, they saw him, you know, at wide receiver. We moved him, you know, all those kinds of things that, you know, you want to be able to do in the NFL that the great tight ends are doing now, you know. So I think they see some of that, the physical guy who can really run. We were playing a really good Ferris State team, a Final Four team in Division II, and we threw a drag route across the middle, and he outran the all-league free safety from Ferris State, who was a kid that probably played a lot of Division II, Division I schools, to be honest. So he just outrun him, down the sideline. I think you've seen some of those highlights, so he's a real deal, you know. I was blessed. I had a chance to coach a Hall of Famer when I was at Ohio State, Orlando Pace. I had a chance to coach a Hall of Famer when I was at Akron, Jason Taylor, who's going in this year. And I know this is a bold statement. I don't want to put this on Adam's shoulders, but he's that kind of guy. I mean, I think he could be that kind of pro, you know. And that's a big – those are big shoes to fill now.
Right.
I understand that. But I'm telling you, I feel really good about you guys getting a great pick. And, you know, here's the tough thing. It's like me recruiting from a small high school. A lot of times you got to look and look and look because the competition isn't real good. But you don't ever, you know, disqualify those guys because that's sometimes the diamond in the rough. And, you know, his best football is ahead of him. And I'm glad they kept looking and had the courage, you know, to pull the trigger on a guy who hasn't – he's not lined up against Alabama and Ohio State. But I'm going to tell you, he could have played at Alabama and Ohio State. There's no doubt in my mind. I've been there and coached at that level. He could have played there, and he would have been a great player at those two schools.
Can he block?
He can block, man. I'm telling you, he's tough. He's a tough physical kid. He's a strong kid. He's a weight room rat, you know. He's not the skinny tight end we started with 3 years ago. He's put together. He did nice shit. All his numbers at the combine in terms of strength, upper body strength, were off the charts, and he can run. So, you know, it's a great pick. And, you know, we're excited about him. Like I said, the best thing about him is he's going to do everything right, all that it takes to be a great pro. He's going to take care of his body. He's going to be smart. You know, he's going to learn from the veterans, you know, how it's done and how it's done the right way. He's going to represent your city and your team with class. And you know what? You can't say that about everybody that gets picked.
Will he come on the radio?
he'll do the radio. Yeah, he'll do the radio. You know, I saw him with Robin Mead. Robin Mead is at that morning show and out of Atlanta, and she's an alum of our school. And I thought he did a pretty good job the other morning with Robin Mead. Now, that's tough to do. She's a former Miss America, you know, winner. So, you know, that's I thought he handled himself really well. I told him that on the phone today. I said, man, oh, man, I've seen you on a couple interviews. You know, you're doing a nice – somebody's gotten to you already. So, yeah, he'll do a nice job for you.
He'll figure it out with us here in Chicago. We're talking to Lee Owens, the head coach at Ashland University, who coached the new Bears tight end, Adam Shaheen. So one thing that surprised me last night talking to Ryan Pace was he was asked, you know, okay, he's coming from a D2 school here. I mean, what's the adjustment period going to be like? And Ryan said, I mean, I look at him like a guy who can play pretty much immediately. This is obviously a big jump for him, but what makes you think that he can come in and contribute right away?
You know, I don't know. I don't have enough NFL experience to speak to that. I know he'll play. He'll play eventually. I mean, I think it's hard for anyone to make that adjustment level from any division to go play in the NFL right away. You know, I know that's the expectation, but I think in the great programs, there's a learning curve. His is fast. Now, there's no question. He's a really smart guy. And I mean, he's a 3.9 finance major, academic All-American, two-time. On the field and off the field. So, I mean, there's not going to be an issue with the learning curve, but I know there's going to be one. And so, you know, it's hard for me to say he's going to line up and play the first day. But I know he's planning on doing that. That's a goal he's going in with. And, you know, if the opportunity's there or the necessity happens where you've got to play a rookie tight end out of the gate, you know, it's not a question of him not wanting to be ready or working to be ready or studying enough to be ready, you know. But I know there's always a learning curve. But I don't think the competition level – I mean, I go back to my analogy when I recruited players out of small high schools before. Getting them on the field at the college level, whether you come from a small school or big school, doesn't seem to slow down the process. It really doesn't. Once you get them all together and you're coaching them the same way – they catch up pretty quick because of the competition they're going against every day in camp and practice, you know, gets them ready, you know. So I don't think that's going to impair the fact that he's coming from a smaller Division II school is going to impair how quick he plays. I think it's more he's just like a rookie like everyone else out there who's a rookie, and it's just hard for rookies to play early.
Coach Owens, do you get a lot of finance majors on your football team?
We do. We got a great finance program. So, absolutely, you know. This guy, I've told everybody all along, he's going to make a lot of money someday, one way or the other. Now, it helps starting out as a second-round draft pick in the NFL. But Dad's got a great business. I think someday he's planning on running that business. And, you know, he's got the smarts to do it. So, and again, it's not the typical guy that a lot of times we see leaving and going to leaving early. How about that? Leaving. I mean, he could have played another year. How often do you leave Division II early? I was heartbroken. I'm going to tell you. I told him on the phone today. I said I was wrong, Adam. I tried to tell him he wouldn't get drafted. So, of course, I wanted to stay another year.
Did you believe that though? Because that was going to be my next question for you. I mean, there's if you're being completely honest, Coach, you probably didn't think he's going in the second round.
Oh, God, no. I really didn't. I mean, even when all the pundits and the media and that, you know, some of the scouts were saying we got a second or third round grade on him, I'm going, that's crap. He's not going to be till fifth or sixth round. Hold your breath. You know, it's like, I told him that today. I did. I said I was wrong. But I was, you know, I've just done this so long, and it's so unusual for a Division II guy to go that high. I just think sometimes general managers just don't have the courage to pull the trigger. He might have a second round grade, but again, he's coming from a Division II program. And so, you know, you're going to try to get him cheap later. You're going to go for a more for sure bet, you know. And then that's what I thought might happen with him. It wasn't a question. I didn't think he deserved to be a second round pick. I just didn't know if somebody would have the guts to do it.
Coach, I got to tell you, I'm up for you two reuniting because John Fox, I don't think he really needs to be here forever. You've been more personable in this 20-minute interview than his entire tenure here, all of his sign votes combined. So I'm pitching a reunion, Lee. I'm sure, I know you love your school, but you probably would be down for that. No disrespect to Coach Fox, of course.
No, not at all. Not at all. It would be great. I mean, if you guys want to be the agent out there for me, that's perfect. I need one. Well, I'm telling you, I recruited Chicago for the Buckeyes, and so I spent a lot of time out there on ramps trying to get on the highway and sitting in traffic jams. So I've listened to your station for a long time and enjoyed the, you know, the city and the sports there. So, yeah, it'd be fun to come back. So if they need a tight end coach, tell them to give me a call.
There we go. There we go. That would work, too. Thank you, Coach. Okay. Appreciate your time.
All right, man. Thank you. Good luck. Have a good day.
Lee Owens, head coach, Ashland University. And
he was outstanding.
He was outstanding. Adam Shaheen, he told him, buddy, don't leave early. They won't draft your Division II type of talent, even though you're a He called him a potential Hall of Famer.
What were the players he compared him to? Jason Taylor was one.
He said he had coached an Orlando Pace, the Pace Bus, who Bears fans saw at the tail end of his career. They didn't get the good Orlando Pace. They got the broken down bus on the side of Lakeshore Drive. But you say no disrespect to John Fox. Sure sounded like some disrespect going out.
Not from him. I didn't want him to campaign for a job that was taking that bad coach speak. I have a desire.
Angst?
I'd like to see the Bears have a different head coach, which we could talk about coming back here as far as how it plays into Mitch Trubisky and taking him and how you're going to coach him up for his first year. Who's doing that? If I'm Ryan Pace, Adam Harris.
How does Vic Fangio feel today?
Right?
They got him no help.
One defensive player, and he's hurt.
And
he's
going to
be like, come on.
He broke his leg, and he's got a torn ACL.
He's a rod in his leg. He's Kevin White at safety.
Okay, we got to take a timeout, but let's hey, your phone calls are welcome. We're here till 7. The Bears have drafted. The Bulls are done. This is not all football, though. We're going to do a ton of football to start. And, Adam, you interviewed Mitchell Trubisky yourself, so we're going to hear from him on the show, 720 WGN. All right, we have a full show planned here. You talked to Mitchell Trubisky. We're here till 7. You're Harry Tynowitz. You're Adam Hoge. I'm Mark Harmon. The Bears draft is over unless – what are they going to do? Trade a future seventh for a seventh? No,
they'll spend the rest of the day working on free agents.
Mm-hmm.
And now we got to figure out who's going to get cut. All right, you know there's going to be a couple guys who get cut out of this.
All right, well let's do some hardcore analysis coming on after 4:30. Harry, I want a grade from you. I want a grade. You too, Adam. I want grades. Overall draft grade.
I never got good grades.
Neither did I. I'd like to go back and do it again. Hoge did get good grades. He ended up at Wisconsin.
Wisconsin made some noise at the end of the first round.
They did.
They did.
All right, quick timeout. Let's get into news. 720 WGN. Good news for the Northwestern Wildcat fans out there. Afadi Odenebo officially in the NFL, drafted by the Minnesota Vikings. And Anthony Walker Jr. going to the Indianapolis Colts. So congratulations to two Wildcats who just got drafted in the old fifth round. How about that?
Chris Ballard, the new GM in Indy, has been at a few Northwestern games the last couple of years. I've seen him lurking in the end zone a little bit, doing some scouting. Had an up-close look at Anthony Walker. Good fit for Walker in Indy.
And congrats to Northwestern for the long-time commitment to both Coach Fitz and Coach Collins. That's doing things right, big time.
Got my season ticket renewal from the Wildcats for the old basketball team.
Wow.
You're sending the check?
Now to Paul?
It's a significant...
Where are your seats at Allstate Arena? I call it the Paul.
I'm moving from behind the court to on the court, or at least I can.
You're going to sit in the middle of the court during games?
Right in the middle, yes.
You going to take a charge?
Significant uptick in the old ticket price here.
Worth it.
You buying in?
Yeah.
You want half the season?
Wait, you sit next to Dave Ennett.
I know, but I have family members and friends who I like to... you know, be a part of.
I thought they were charging you to sit next to Dave.
They do that too. It's very expensive.
That's Dave charging you.
Those games,
if you're going to sit close to me, you're going to have to pay for it.
Those games, Dave,
at Allstate Arena will be really fun. Coming off the season they just had, going out to Allstate Arena is a great stadium, great building.
Probably shouldn't talk Northwestern basketball right now. It's my fault. I apologize for bringing it up. Okay, so I want to know grades here. Mitchell Trubisky, Adam Shaheen, Eddie Jackson, Tariq Cohn, and Jordan Morgan. Adam, let's go with you. What's your Ryan Pace grade right now? I know you probably want to think about this forever and come up with someone.
I hate grading drafts. Like, no one's ever seen any of these guys play at a level close to the NFL. I mean,
it's a moronic question. I would grant you.
Let's just go through the picks. Okay, I'm on record. I like the Trubisky pick. I don't know that I personally would have traded up to number two to grab him, but I thought he was a first-round quarterback. If you're going to say a guy is a first-round quarterback, that means you think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback.
Grading a draft as the draft is still going on is like when they grade the recruiting classes.
But we don't have any more picks. Yeah. It's over.
I understand that. But, you know, for Bears fans, you know, it'd be redundant to say Bears fans have wanted a quarterback. Yeah. Okay? So now you have to pay a price to get the quarterback. And if you go by the NFL formula for points, what they gave up is what you give for a quarterback. Now, whether or not 49ers were going to take Trubisky or somebody else was going to trade him, I don't know that, but they had to get a quarterback, and they got the guy that they identified with. You know, that they identified.
See, okay.
Why are you anti-Trubisky?
Okay, here's why I'm anti-Mitchell Trubisky.
Okay.
He, for one, he sat behind Marquise Williams, who never played in the NFL, didn't sniff the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're seeing those two every single day. You're trying to win football games, I'm assuming, in North Carolina. You got some guy who's going to be the number two pick in the draft, and you sat him for all but one season. That doesn't add up to me.
Tom Brady didn't start at Michigan all the time.
I'm not saying that he could be great, and there are you can call on Tom Brady. You can look at a
pretty
guy,
good example, right?
Sure, and you can even look at a guy like Matt Cassel, who you don't want Mitch Trubisky to be, but didn't play at all in college and ended up having a very long NFL career. So there's a lot of guys that's true, Harry. That's a fine point, but I think that's a red flag. I also listen, Ryan Pace to me continues to try to prove himself as the smartest guy in the room. Kevin White was a starter for 1 year. Leonard Floyd was a reach last year, and yeah, he had some great moments, but he also ended up getting concussed two times, and he looked a little thin for the position. I'm not willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, and in this particular circumstance, you gave up a ton of picks for not the most physically gifted guy in the draft. I mean, we would all agree there.
I disagree.
You think he's more physically gifted than Patrick Mahomes? Really?
Well, what are we talking about? Just arm strength? No.
Speed?
Are we talking about... Actually, I think he's just as athletic as Patrick Mahomes. He is not a guy you're going to run the option with, okay? He's not a guy you're going to have... He's not Michael Vick, but you don't need Michael Vick. You need a guy that can sidestep pressure, have good footwork, and tuck the ball and run when he needs to. And that's what he can do. He can throw on the run. He's very mobile in that regard.
I
think he is... If you're to take the four top prospects and stack up the complete package right now, Trubisky is the top guy. That's why I had him as the top guy.
And that's fine. He may be the top guy of those guys. None of those guys, though, are considered anywhere close to a franchise quarterback. I mean, there's a hope...
By who? Why do people keep saying this? The Bears just traded up to the number two pick. They obviously view him as a franchise quarterback. The Chiefs just traded up to number 10 to get Patrick Mahomes. They obviously think he's a franchise quarterback. The Texans just traded up to get Deshaun Watson. They obviously think he's a franchise quarterback.
And Cam Newton did not really have a college career until his senior year.
See, I would
you know, so for the people that are like, well, Trubisky only had 13 starts, I keep hearing that number, 13, 13, 13. There's a lot of guys, really, that didn't get an opportunity until late in their career. And yeah. Trubisky got in other ball games where he wasn't starting.
Do you remember the 2015 North Carolina season? Here's how many games they won in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 games in a row. Marquise Williams is your quarterback. Why would you make a change?
That's fair.
Why would you change your quarterback? Your goal as a head coach in college football is to win games, not to get your quarterback drafted.
That's fine. They had a good team. They were winning games. Okay, I can hear that argument. I still look at Marquise Williams and think to myself,
I agree.
Hey, man, you didn't know at the start of the season that you were going to have that year. I'm looking at this quarterback. I'm looking at that quarterback. Who am I going to start?
And Trubisky was a huge prospect coming out of...
Yeah, Mr. Ohio football player, right. Whatever they called him. He went to a huge high school in Ohio that where football is everything, and he was Mr. Ohio football or whatever it was. I get it.
So, but here's the thing: he redshirts his freshman year. He's in a competition his sophomore year, and he doesn't win the competition. Okay, he's still at that point a redshirt freshman. It's understandable that he didn't necessarily win that. And then the guy he loses the competition to happens to be winning football games. So you're not going to change the quarterback.
And then the next year,
I think it says something about him that he didn't transfer, and he had an unbelievable attitude. And there was twice where Marquise Williams' helmet came off, and he jumped in the middle of the game cold and threw a touchdown.
Threw a touchdown
on his first throw.
Yeah, I saw those highlights too. Listen, he may. I hope he's great. I hope he's great. I just look at him and I hear him talk, and I just I'm not that excited. I'm sorry. I'm just not. Maybe I'm, I hope I'm wrong.
So he would have been your number one pick in the radio interview draft.
He would. He would not have. I would rather have Patrick Mahomes, who I've talked to. It was way more interesting to talk to than what I've listened to of Mitchell Trubisky, who will hear that you talk to him. Are you? I'm just not willing to give the benefit of the doubt to Ryan Pace quite yet. I'll take on an Adam Shaheen in the second.
You made a comment that Ryan Pace wants to be the smartest man
yes,
in the room.
Now
he's
yes.
got he's drafted two Division II players in this draft.
Right?
Does he remind you of another GM that used to work in this town?
Yes, Jerry Krause. Exactly right. Exactly right. I 100%.
You think he's trying to be the smartest guy in the room?
He's going,
or is he just trying to build a football
team? That was Phil Emery. That was Phil. Phil would come out.
Phil Emery was the smartest guy in the room, just not necessarily pertaining to football.
Phil would come out of his draft rooms, and you know, I was actually listening. I don't know why, but I was listening to his press conference after he drafted Shea McClellan, and the amount of analytics and utter BS that he just threw out there to try to convince everyone. It was like, okay, can he play football or not? You know, it's like, I don't get that vibe from Ryan Pace at all. And if you watch, the Bears put out a video from their draft room and with Ryan Pace basically kind of having like a celebratory moment with everyone in the room. And he said that Trubisky was his number one quarterback. It was Josh Lucas's number one quarterback. That's the director of player personnel. It was director of college scouting, number one quarterback. Their top national scouts, number one quarterback. The point there being, this was a consensus pick. It truly was. It was not Ryan Pace going, yeah, but I'm the smartest guy here, and I have this other reason, and I'm going with him.
Adam, you eat, sleep, and breathe Chicago Bears for most of the calendar year. I've been reading stories that John Fox didn't know until late that they were going to go after Mitchell Trubisky.
We had a cut from that in the Y drive there, Dan, under Bears NFL draft or 2017 draft, which disputes that. I mean, what Ryan Pace said, right? You know what I'm talking
very
about?
Very strongly disputed those. And actually,
it doesn't make sense.
Who was it that reported that? Whoever it was backed off of that.
Okay.
Later tweeted again.
It wouldn't make any sense.
And here's why, number one. John Fox was at the dinner that the Bears had with Trubisky in Chapel Hill. Everyone was. I mean, they had Dow Loggins there. They had Dave Ragone. They had Josh Lucas. They had Ryan Pace. They were all there. You don't sit down and have a covert dinner in Chapel Hill with a guy who the Browns are talking about taking number one overall unless you're seriously considering drafting him.
No question.
So maybe it's possible that Fox didn't necessarily know at 3 o'clock on Thursday that the Bears were going to trade up to number two to go get him. I'm not sure Ryan Pace did it at that moment.
Let's hear from Pace the cut that I was talking about.
John and I are arm in arm in all these decisions. So we talked about this thoroughly and we're connected on this. And John's just as excited as I am. So when you have an opportunity to get a quarterback of this caliber, you can't pass on it. So we're good.
Okay. So that quote right there of this caliber. He better be the best of all of them. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that doesn't. No kidding. They went and got him at number two. No one's disputing that. If Trubisky sucks, Ryan Pace gets fired.
See, and I don't even know if he does. I feel like.
Well, not next year.
Right, I think he's safe.
I just say at the end of his 5-year contract that we're going into year three, Ryan Pace will not be around if Trubisky's a huge bust.
Seems like they love Ryan Pace at Halas Hall.
They do love Ryan Pace at Halas Hall.
I mean, I don't.
And this is why he has the time to make this move. You don't understand when George McCaskey said that his mother was pissed off.
He said that a bunch now.
I said it one time, and I think
he kind of like alluded to
it. But. Yeah, he called that the quote that won't go away the last time I saw him.
Is Virginia still mad, George?
But he could have gone in two different directions there, right? He could have said, all right, Virginia's so mad, we got to fix this immediately, you know, because of her age, panic, go for it, right? And I think a lot of the city thought that that's what's going to happen. Instead, they smartly looked at what happened in the Phil Emery era. And they went a completely different direction. They brought in Ryan Pace, who was part of a three-headed brain trust in New Orleans. That was Mickey Loomis, Ryan Pace, and Sean Payton. And people forget that Ryan Pace wanted to build that here. And that's what he's done. It's him It's Josh Lucas, who he brought from New Orleans, and it's John Fox. Those are the three guys making the decisions here. So if you believe John Fox didn't know they were taking Mitch Trubisky, you're an idiot.
And Mort is who reported it, Chris Mortensen from ESPN.
And he walked it back, I think. Yeah. I think there was another tweet walking it back. Because it just doesn't make sense.
Mort, along with a lot of other reporters, have gotten things wrong before, and it sounds like he got that one wrong. It just doesn't add up. There's no way that John Fox didn't know that was happening. I refuse to believe that.
Now, Vic Fangio?
If he did,
maybe.
If he didn't,
I mean, right. He's a defensive coordinator. The head coach knows.
I'll tell you who did not know that that was happening was the person that thought it would be a good idea for Mike Glennon to be at the Bears draft party at Soldier Field Thursday night. That guy had no or woman. Who am I to, you know, cast gender roles? But that person had no idea that Mike Glennon would be sitting there in front of all the Bears fans finding out that he was, going down the river.
That's bizarre. That's bizarre. Hey,
can we talk about the...
Don't feel too bad. You got $18.5 million, bro.
Yeah.
But that's embarrassing.
He got a raw deal here, though.
Sure, but he has an opportunity to make a ton of money for this year. Maybe he plays incredibly well, gets traded to where he wants to go.
Maybe.
I mean, it's not – there's
– A week ago, though, it was like, hey, you know, he's our quarterback and give him a chance and maybe he'll be really good and he could be here for a long time.
Yeah, here.
Can we talk about the trade aspect of this when we come back?
Yeah, let's do that.
The idea that they trade up for two, because I think there's a lot of other misinformation out there right now that the fan base is wrongly clinging onto, and that needs to be cleared up.
And please turn Chicago's Best off the television in here. I am so hungry, and Brittany Payton is driving me nuts with what she's doing here with the pizza. This is unbelievable.
What? Don't you just eat pizza?
Yeah, there's no pizza in the studio. They're putting like sausage and ground beef on this delicious looking pizza. I'm starving. I got dinner. I'm trying to hold out. I'm on a diet.
Why are you on a diet?
Have you seen the turtle that's growing out of this stomach of mine?
Donatello?
Yes. Hey, quick timeout. We'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Spirited show today. Adam Hoge, Mr. Bear, and Harry Tino. It's yours truly, Mark Carmen on 720 WGN. Just learned in the break that Harry Tynowitz used to go to 7-Eleven, buy the burrito cold, put it in his fridge where it remained cold, and then you would eat it.
Great hangover remedy.
The 7-Eleven burrito.
Explain to me how that fixes a hangover.
It just did. It just did because, you know, you wake up and you need something that's going to, like, bring you back, that's going to settle you, get you back to square one, and that would do it for me.
The only thing I'd eat from 7-Eleven would be a banana.
Oh, I think you're selling the burrito short.
Am I really selling the burrito? What was that?
How can you, if you've never had one, how can you doubt it?
It's a burrito from 7-Eleven. It's just like how I can doubt Mitchell Trubisky. It's the
same
thing.
That's like you were ripping my Sam's Club chocolate chip cookie.
Why would you rip that?
I tasted it. It was not good.
You did not taste it.
I did taste it.
You put your nose in the air. Like you were a Vanderbilt.
You smelled it?
I covertly tasted it when Harry wasn't looking. I took a little bit of your cookie.
Get your hands off my cookie,
yeah,
man.
Well, I had to get it done. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 7-Eleven burritos or the Bears draft. What did you want to talk about here, Adam?
Okay, so the Bears traded up to number two.
Yes.
And it seems like the whole world is convinced that they didn't need to. And I'm just wondering what they're basing that off of. Because... It's my understanding that at the very minimum, there were definitely some serious conversations from other teams trading up to number two to San Francisco. Okay, now here's what's been reported by national reporters. Rap Sheet came out, Ian Rappaport, mm-hmm. came out and said there was a deal, a real legitimate offer, a different one to move up to number two. And then some other reporters followed that up, not necessarily saying Rap Sheet was wrong, but saying, but yeah, they weren't trading up to get Trubisky. Basically, the consensus from all these national reporters was that no one could find a team to admit that they were thinking about trading up to number two to get Mitchell Trubisky. And everyone sees this on Twitter yesterday afternoon, and everyone immediately concludes, well, then Ryan Pace played himself and didn't need to do that. Trubisky would have been there at number three. Here's my question to you. And I'm a reporter. I'm somebody who does this. Why would a team, if I were to start calling around teams, and I don't have contacts at every team, I wish I did. But if I were to call all these teams and say, hey, were you trying to get up to number two? Why would they admit that they were? Because if they were, they'd be telling me that they failed to go up and get their guy. Teams don't admit. Like, the year the Bears sat on their hands and didn't draft Aaron Donald. Ugh. They could have traded up and gotten Aaron Donald.
One pick in front of ours.
And Phil Emery didn't because he said, the Rams are the team ahead of us, and they have a great defensive line. There's no way they draft Aaron Donald. And what happened? They did. Did Phil Emery come down to his press conference, and we asked him about Aaron Donald? I was in the room. And he didn't go, oh, yeah, we tried, and I didn't get my guy. Yeah, I'm an idiot. They don't say that, either off the record or on the record. They don't admit that they didn't go up and get their guy. So no kidding that no one can find a team that said they went up to number two. That doesn't mean that they weren't out there. The Browns were thinking about taking him at number one, and everyone knew the Browns loved Trubisky, and there's definitely, if John Lynch called Ryan Pace and said, hey, we have an offer. Are you interested in coming up to number two? And Rap Sheet did report that there was an offer. No one in that situation knows if it's for Trubisky. But if you're Ryan Pace and you know the Browns are interested in him, oh, two threes and a four to secure the guy you believe is going to take this team to the Super Bowl? It's a no-brainer. You absolutely make that deal. It's ridiculous for anyone to say otherwise.
It's what an NFL quarterback costs. It's what, if you yes. want to get an NFL first-round draft pick, that's what the price is. And we should probably remind Bears fans that the guy they got instead of Aaron Donald, Kyle Fuller.
Yep. Let's also remind everybody that's cool if Mitchell Trubisky is who he thinks he is. My point is, I question whether he's earned the right, and then he shouldn't have the job, period. But I question whether he's earned the right to be that bold when you have that many needs to go ahead and mortgage the future and tie yourself to a guy who you have no idea who he's going to throw the football to. You have little idea who's ever going to stop him to get the football back to him.
But, Carm, this city has already learned that you can draft Lance Briggs in the third round. And I bring that up because they traded a third-round pick, okay? You can draft Lance Briggs, you can get to the Super Bowl, and you can still lose because you don't have a quarterback.
That's fine.
But I mean, this city should know better.
Rex Grossman didn't take the Bears to the Super Bowl. Rex went with the Bears
yes.
to the Super Bowl.
And if they had Peyton Manning on their side, they win that game easily. Okay, you need a quarterback.
Let's not start
breaking down the Super Bowl again. There was other things that happened in that game, but you need a quarterback. Go get the guy.
Let's talk about after news whether the Bears seem like an aligned organization.
I'm just saying, is it possible that Ryan Pace actually punked these other teams, and that's why no one can find a team admitting that they were trying to trade up?
I think that's entirely possible.
Entirely possible. Let's use our brains, people.
I like that you're fired up on this one. Back in Pace to the moon. Ryan Pace is the best general manager in the NFL, and we have him here, right here in Chicago. And we fleeced the NFL by getting Ryan Pace from the Saints. And George McCaskey knows exactly what he's doing, and so does John Fox.
Hey, if you start dissing George, you have a problem with me, mister.
I didn't diss George at all. George is the king.
George is awesome.
And any Bears fan out there that's going to a Bulls game and booing Mitchell Trubisky,
he's dying to talk Bulls.
He
is just dying. They won the first two on the road and then just kaput.
Accurately say they were going to lose the next four.
6-10. It's on the docket today. We're talking Bulls.
I stressed the importance of the quarterback position and the importance of getting that right, how critical that position is for our long-term success. Obviously excited to add a quarterback of this caliber. The only chance you get to add quarterbacks like this is when you're picking this high in the draft. You're taking advantage of it.
Well, oh my, Mitchell, what would your captain do?
Who is this, Dan Long?
I think it's Hoyt Axton.
Hoyt Axton.
A B-movie called Mitchell, starring Joe Don Baker.
I missed that one.
Okay.
The great Joe Don Baker.
This takes me into my hot topic of the day.
That song does?
Yes. Because
I hope it's Joe Don Baker.
720 WGN.
You didn't like the movie Mitchell?
No, that's not it. Your name is Adam Hoge. You're Harry Tynowitz. I'm Mark Carmen. This is very serious. I want everybody to huddle around the radio right now.
Glad I know my name now.
Did you think it was going to be about Scott Mitchell? And when it wasn't, you didn't like it?
No. Let me ask you something. Because would you all agree that having good decision making, being a good decision maker, is incredibly important for a quarterback?
Yes.
Oh, most definitely.
Right. Now, would you also agree that without a shadow of a doubt, Mitchell does your taxes, is your accountant. Mitch throws touchdown passes. Mitch eludes linebackers. Mitch hands the ball off and puts his arms in the air and goes nuts. Mitchell is 100% is a teacher. He is an accountant. He is a lawyer. He is a doctor. Mitch is a football player. And the fact that this guy is coming into the NFL and he is hell-bent on being called Mitchell makes me think that there's something wrong with Mitchell Trubisky.
Okay. Can I explain to you the name?
Please do.
His mother wanted to hear Roger Goodell call him Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
That was it.
Okay.
You can go back to calling him Mitch now.
Okay.
He said, I don't care what you call me. He said a lot of his friends call him Mitchell, but I don't care. But I'll tell you
it's
this.
Not him doing that.
Mitchell Page would be so hot at you right now.
I respect listening to mom and giving and getting mom what she wants.
I said it on our podcast last night, which you can listen on WGNRadio.com. If Mitchell's mother wants him to be Mitchell, I'm calling him Mitchell. I have a ton of respect for mothers.
That's great. So do I. Mothers are fantastic. They're amazing people. They're super strong. They're super powerful. I can't call this quarterback of the Bears Mitchell. His name is Mitch.
That's fine.
You go out there and you dominate. You're Mitch.
You'll hear in the interview with Mitch Trubisky.
Thank you.
I called him like two different. The only thing I didn't call him was Mr. Biscuit.
I love that.
Wait, can we go through the nicknames of the Bears draft? I mean, this all-time nickname draft class here. If you're mad about the Bears draft class, the nicknames you got to love. So, first round, we got Mr. Biscuit.
Yep.
Second round, Baby Gronk.
Got to love Baby Gronk.
No third round pick. Whoops. Fourth rounder, we got Action Jackson. Eddie Jackson.
Pretty good.
Yep. This is a running back they got out of.
Tariq Cohen. I can't believe you haven't memorized his name yet.
Cohen. Yeah, yeah. From North Carolina AT&T. I did that on purpose. Don't worry. I think it's,
funny.
That's where they got him. He is the human joystick. Also, chicken salad is what they call him.
What about Jordan Morgan?
Wow, those are two good nicknames.
I like that.
He's got two nicknames. I had to leave House Hall at that point, so I have no idea of Jordan Morgan. Former Michigan center Jordan Morgan.
Jordan Morgan, selected number 147 overall. This is my favorite pick of the whole thing. From Kutztown University. Kutztown.
You know who
it reminds me of Puttstown,
You know what Hall of Famer went to Kutztown? Well, it used to be Kutztown State.
Okay, who went there?
Number 83, Buffalo Bills.
Andre Reed was a Kutztown.
Oh, yes, he was.
Did not know that.
And he's a Golden Bear in college. Now he's a Chicago Bear. How cool is that?
I saw your tweet on that you were excited about the Golden Bear to the regular Chicago Bear.
Their mascot is just Jack Nicklaus.
Kutztown University. He was the team captain. Became the offense.
It took me like 3 seconds.
Kutztown.
I got it. Thank you, Harry.
Sure.
I love it.
My jokes are like grenades.
But they have an impact.
Yeah. They do. Yeah. All right. By the way, the Kutztown University football team is going to host its annual Maroon and Gold Spring game this Saturday, April the 22nd, which I know has already happened. We can't go. But I went to their website today just to learn everything I could about Kutztown, and they had their spring game. Clicked on it. I was fired up. It was a week ago. If they had only drafted the Kutztown guy, Jordan Morgan,
We
could have been there, man.
Yes, we're learning a lot about Division II schools, thanks to Ryan Pace.
And I'm down with Division II schools. I was a play-by-play guy on the D2 level. I have a massive amount of respect for it.
Do we have some sound of that? Dan, go ahead and play Mark's sound from Division II. It's play-by-play.
Great call on Siobhan Farmer's game winner for St. Edward's University in 2005.
And you made the leap to the pros.
I did. I guess I did.
Kutztown, do you know?
You're on WGN radio.
That's true. I did.
Kutztown is not far from Allentown.
Great. I guess we can move on from Kutztown.
A texter's still mad that they let Matt Barkley go.
I see. Well, okay. Let's speak to that for just 1 second, if you can.
Apparently, those 12 interceptions in the last 2 weeks of the season, I'm sorry. There is not a dumber fan base in the world when it comes to quarterbacks. And I know it's been a tough ride, Bears fans, but your inconsistencies on what you want out of that position is unbelievably ridiculous.
But hold on a second. You could have paid Matt Barkley one eighth.
Who cares? Is it your money?
Okay, it matters though, because who do you want coaching Mitchell Trubisky / Mitch Trubisky that we just officially decided, I guess? Who do you want coaching him? If the answer is not John Fox, then I agree with you. And so if you're going to be spending a lot of money on Mike Glennon, you could still get to the salary floor. You could spend less on and have a Matt Barkley or a Brian Hoyer, and then you can move on from your head coach that $4-odd million, you bring in a guy that you can actually develop your quarterback with, along with an offensive coordinator.
You're living in a world that doesn't exist.
Right.
John Fox is not getting fired.
I understand, which I think is ridiculous. How can you go into the season with Mike Glennon?
What is John Fox's fault? There's been some awful clock management. That's it. I don't know. He got left a horrendous roster by a terrible GM, probably the worst general manager in the history of Chicago sports. I know Harry will probably argue with me with some Blackhawks.
Football 101. He's failed numerous times. Clock management, when to call timeout, it's happened over and over and over again.
Yes. He's also been to the Super Bowl twice, so it's not like he's a complete dummy.
That is where I would go, Blackhawks.
Yeah.
I don't have any confidence in John Fox. And him being here past this year, I think, is unlikely. And then you're going to have 1 year with Trubisky on the roster, learning from an offensive coordinator and a head coach that he's not going to coach him. So you're wasting the year.
On the topic of quarterbacks, can I ask Adam a question?
Yes.
The drafting of Mitch Trubisky, does that mean that we're saying bye-bye to Mark Sanchez?
No, Mark Sanchez had nothing to do with the draft. I said it at the time. I believe it now.
He's going to be amazing in the quarterback room, Harry. He's a key component in that quarterback
And I'll tell
room.
You what, if Mike Glennon goes down in week one in the middle of the game, it's Sanchez who's on the field.
Please say no. So please don't. Yeah. There is a training camp, and they will have some level of competition that's not going to be called a competition, but in some way they will be being judged. And if Mitch plays well in training camp, I don't know if that will prove to be true, Adam Hoge. I would like to think it will prove to be
Matt
true.
Matt Barkley threw...
They did drop a lot of balls.
Threw 10 interceptions in the last 3 weeks of the season. 10.
Yeah, but he was thrown to a bunch of slop, and he had drops left and right.
And they landed in the other team's arms?
Oh, okay. I can't defend Matt Barkley as a very good quarterback, but I can say that you could have had him for nothing. You're not trying to win anyway. Hey. And you want to go Brian Hoyer? Who's a better quarterback, Brian Hoyer or Mike Glennon? That is a tight race at the finish line all day, right?
Mike Glennon has three times the arm strength of Brian Hoyer.
I don't care. He hasn't started the game since 2014.
Because Jameis Winston got drafted.
You can't tell me Mike Glennon's going to be good. I refuse to believe Mike Glennon's going to be
good.
I
don't know if Mike Glennon's going to be good.
He deserves an opportunity. Jury's out on Mike Glennon. NC State quarterbacks do well in the league, man.
Look at that rivalry. We got NC State versus North Carolina in the Bears quarterback.
Look, Philip Rivers, NC State. Russell Wilson, NC State.
I'd rather have Kevin Fishbane than Mike Glennon, if I can get that in there. People know. those are two
lookalikes.
And Kevin Fishbane covers the Bears. Mike Glennon plays for him. All right. Mike, welcome to 720 WGN. You want to talk about Mitch and Mitchell?
No, I want to talk about you piece of garbage.
Oh, golly.
Really?
Okay. Dude, don't be nice.
I like where he was going.
Is he still going? Mike, you can't call up and call me a piece of garbage. That's not nice. I'd never say that to you.
How about if I call you Adolf Alton?
Okay, I can't do that.
All right.
You guys, you can call.
What's he so mad about?
He was mad about Mitch versus Mitchell. You're taking it too seriously, Mike. Calm down.
If his name was Mitchell, I'd understand why he was so angry.
Don't be so angry, Mike.
Mitchell Page played for the Oakland A's from 1977 to 1983. 72 homers, 259 RBIs. Pretty good for a Mitchell.
There you go. Kevin Mitchell. But that's the reversal. Hey, yeah. Sean, welcome to WGN. Go
ahead. Guys, am I the only person that feels? Did you guys see the movie Draft Day with Kevin Costner?
No. I almost watched it.
Am I the only person that feels that we got jaguared in this whole situation? We just got abused.
I heard the scene. I had a friend explain the scene to me that they trick a GM into giving up way too much in a deal. Well, why don't you explain to us what jaguared means?
So what they did in the movie was they traded to get the number one pick in the draft. They gave up way too much, future number ones and number twos, and turns around they didn't get the one person that the owner wanted them to get. They got the one defensive player that they could have gotten all along. And then they ended up making more trades, and the Jaguars, in the end, the Jaguars still got the crappy quarterback that was lying to everybody, et cetera. But the original trade was just taking advantage of the Cleveland Browns. And I feel that's just what we just did. When a team, we need help on the line, defensive line and offensive line. We've got a matador at the blind side. Just bull rush, ole, go get him. We should have taken Salomon at least at the defensive end or picked an offensive lineman.
So
you take the best player.
Okay, Sean, if they didn't take a quarterback at all in the draft, would you have a problem with that?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't have a problem with it at all because we just signed one for $15 million.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Give him a chance. You didn't even give him a chance. You got him out there throwing the ball at Cubs game. You're parading him around. Well, then you just signed him for all this. You give that guy a chance.
Okay. Fair enough. Thanks, Sean.
A lot of holes. Thanks.
Yep. No problem. Thanks for calling. 720 WGN 312-981-7200. What? And we'll take a quick timeout. And when we come back here.
I mean, I just explained what happened with the trade. I'm not going to do it again.
No, I'm not asking you to do it. I don't want you to do that.
Your audience is always changing.
I mean.
But I do want to, like, just dive into your collective heads coming back here and just hear what you think their thought process was around Mike Glennon and how that played into their draft. Because you can't tell me that they just completely live in a bubble day to day. I want to know what your opinion is on how they went about the Mike Glennon decision. 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Into the mind of Ryan Pace we go. You want to tackle this one first, Harry?
Good song.
That tune there? What do you got? What's Ryan
Save
Pace question?
Save tonight.
What was he thinking when he signed Mike Glennon? Did he know that he was going to draft Mitchell Trubisky?
Here, I have a controversial take on this.
Mm-hmm.
The general manager of the Chicago Bears understands how important the quarterback position is.
Uh-huh. So he's just stockpiling QBs?
Is there something wrong with that?
Not necessarily, but you...
Wrong on this because earlier this week that was the reasoning I was using to why I didn't think they were going to draft a quarterback, because I was thinking that way. You paid Mike Glennon all his money when you could have just kept Cutler around for less money. You could have kept Hoyer around for less money. But I get it. Think about how toxic this situation would have been if Jay Cutler was the guy. So they never got rid of Cutler. They never signed Mike Glennon. And Ryan Pace gets to the podium Thursday night after trading up to get Trubisky, and he goes, Jay Cutler's still the starter, and Trubisky's going to have to sit out for a year.
Yeah, that wouldn't have worked.
It would not have worked. Yeah. The city would have said no, and then even if that was the case, the first interception Jay threw week one against the Falcons, his whole city would have been going nuts saying Trubisky needs to play, and that would have been a horrible situation for Trubisky to try to deal with.
And we have a long history in the NFL of guys that learned by watching from the sidelines. And there's a couple guys that didn't, like Peyton Manning got thrown into the fire, and I'd say he was pretty incredibly awesome. And Cam Newton started right away. Luck started right away. But look,
didn't Peyton Manning win one game his first year, though? Isn't that right?
I think one game, but I'm saying he played right away.
Right.
Okay. It's to the advantage of a young quarterback not to play right away. And Aaron Rodgers obviously did not play right away. And Steve Young did not play right away. And Tom Brady did not play right away. And they all benefited. And all their head coaches say they benefited from it. So I think that he was, you know, I think he wanted Trubisky. He knew he was going to get Trubisky or was hoping to get Trubisky. But you got to have a quarterback. And, you know, Cutler, I guess, you know, 2 years ago they should have gotten rid of Cutler.
Okay.
Here's the thing. The best case scenario here is that Glennon is good and makes it hard for them to put Trubisky in the game. And that Trubisky is developing and still looks like he's going to be very good. I mean, Glennon could be here for 3 years. That's what the contract is. Is it likely he gets that third year? I don't know. But it depends on how he plays. He has a chance to win the starting job. And, you know, it's not really unlike what Trubisky was dealing with in North Carolina. If Glennon plays well and the Bears win, then the Bears have a very good problem on their hands. Now, I'm not saying any of that's likely. I mean, given the Bears' history at the quarterback position and the rest of this roster and that schedule, especially the first 5 weeks of the season, I mean, I think there's a very good chance this goes south early than it goes north. But if that all plays out that way, then Ryan Pace has a trade piece on his hands. He can trade Mike Glennon when it's time for Trubisky. Or if this is like Glennon suddenly turns out to be a, you know, a legitimate quarterback and Trubisky's sitting there like Jimmy Garoppolo is right now, and can't get on the field.
That'd be a good problem to have.
I'm trying to take you through the reasoning of why they paid it. Mike Glennon and still drafted Trubisky.
I get it. Yes, Gary, go ahead.
Who will be here? Who will leave Chicago first?
Okay.
Mike Glennon or Fred Hoiberg?
It's a great question.
Hoiberg.
But probably Fred. Although I think Fred's coming back next year.
I think he is too, but I don't think there's any way he can survive next year.
And shame on you for bringing up Fred. It's going to be very hard for Fred to survive.
I mean, how
next year.
Does he win anything next year?
And Rondo comes back and D-Wade opts in. And
it's not his fault. Well, I don't think he's a good coach, but he is being set up for utter failure.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Fred Hoiberg is a terrific basketball guy, and the roster's bad. And they shouldn't have brought in, even though they needed Rondo, they shouldn't have brought in Wade or Rondo at the start of this year.
I agree with that. Though I really enjoyed watching Rondo play basketball, especially in the second half of the season. He was fantastic. Dwayne Wade last night looked, I would say Dwayne Wade looked worse than I look playing rec league ball. It was so bad. And, I mean, missed layup after missed layup. Add in waving at guys as they just walked down the lane and dunked it. He's just standing there. I'm like, oh, my God.
It looked like he gave up after game five.
It did.
He put up good numbers in game six, but he was not boxing anyone out. He wasn't playing defense. Didn't care.
I mean, it was a rough night for D-Wade. Okay. Coming up after 5:30, as I get the time right here, we're going to hear from Mitch Trubisky. Adam Hoke sat down with the new Bears quarterback. Would you like to just give people anything that they're going to hear from Mitch?
No, I want you to listen to it.
Okay.
So why would I give anything away?
Well, I know you could just tease.
Just like, a little nugget?
Listen, without saying what he said.
You know what? We talked. First of all, Adam Johns joins me in this interview because it aired on our podcast.
You can't get enough Adams.
No. It's two Adams is a good amount of Adams, I think.
Two Adams and a Mitch coming up?
Yeah. We talked about the dinner that he had with John Fox.
There's
and Ryan
a good
Pace.
Tease. I like that. See, we're going to hear about the dinner.
And Mitch had to pick out the restaurant.
Ooh.
They put him on the spot.
Did you talk about
that? That's got to be nerve-wracking. The GM of the Chicago Bears calls you and said, hey, pick a restaurant. Take us out to dinner. I'd be like, oh, God.
But if you're used to, but if it's 3rd and 12 and you're used to picking out, like, the best coverage and who's to block who, how hard could it be to pick? I can pick out a restaurant. Come on.
Yeah, but he's new to town, Harry. He's got a lot on his mind. He doesn't know what Ryan likes to eat. It's not easy. Throwing him right to the fire. But we're going to hear Adam about the dinner and everything else about being a Chicago Bear from the new Bear quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, coming up right after News 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Saturday. 5:35 here till 7. I'm Mark Carmody. He's Adam Hoge. He's Harry Tynowitz. Little NFL draft extended special. So you sat down with the number two overall draft pick, you and Adam Johns, huh?
More specifically, we stood up in the media room in front of everybody. It's a little awkward, but that's, I mean, you know, he was going through the Hell's Hall car wash yesterday, and we were fortunate enough to get 5 minutes with him. Adam Johns, who you heard a little bit earlier right here on WGN Radio, but you can also hear him with me on the Hogan Johns podcast on WGNRadio.com. We got 5 minutes with him at Hell's Hall yesterday, and it's an intimate conversation. Parts of this sounds like we're kind of whispering a little bit, you know. Hey, Mitch, welcome to Chicago, things like that. Anyway, here is our conversation with new Bears quarterback Mitch Trubisky.
Very fortunate right now to be joined by Mitchell Trubisky, the Bears' a new quarterback and guy they go up and trade for, which I think shocked all of us, including you, Mitch. What excites you the most about this situation as you've kind of been able to spend the last 24 hours actually thinking about it a little bit?
Yeah. Throughout this whole process, I just wanted to go to a place that believed in me and what I could do in the future. And for them to come down and get me, it really showed me that. And, I'm very excited about Chicago, the plan that Ryan Pace and Coach Fox have here. And I just can't wait to get to work and play some ball.
Was there any sense of confusion at all when this all happened? Because usually you're kind of prepped like, hey, I'm going to get a phone call. And obviously exactly. That didn't happen.
That's where the most confusing part came. So my agents kind of heard some rumblings that Chicago was very interested, even though I haven't heard from them since our workout. And they were kind of telling me that they're going to trade up to get me. And I said, well, are they going to call? I didn't get a phone call. And then the commissioner gets to the podium. I'm like, oh, well, I'm not going to get picked. And then he says my name. And after that, it was just shocking, incredible, and it was perfect.
What were the words that popped in your head?
Let's go, the Bears. That's all I was thinking. And I'm just very blessed to be here in Chicago and to be a Bear.
So we learned a little bit from Ryan Pace last night when we got the chance to talk to him that there was a little bit more contact between you guys than maybe we thought, that you had a chance to sit down, have dinner with John Fox and Ryan Pace and go through a private workout. First of all, how was that kept so quiet?
It was part of Ryan's master plan, so... he just wanted to keep it quiet, didn't want any walls to know that they wanted me. And, we had a dinner that was kept quiet, a private workout the next day, and they asked me not to tell anyone, so I didn't.
So you didn't. I mean, I tried to look at some quotes today. I don't remember you mentioning a workout with them once.
Take us through the actual dinner. Was it a steakhouse? Did you have fish? Was there a bottle of wine on there?
It was a nice steakhouse down in Chapel Hill that I took them to. So we had a great dinner. I think I meshed really well with the coaches, and I think that just confirmed to them that they really liked me and who I was and what I could bring to an organization.
Fox could regale people with tales. Did he kind of win you over with stories of yesteryear?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That wasn't hard for Coach Fox. So he's a great guy. He's got a bunch of great stories. So I can't wait to play for him and the rest of the coaches.
I need to call you out on one thing. You said Walter Payton's your favorite player, right? I co-host a radio show with his son, who I think was playing more in your era. Yeah. So what is it about Walter that kind of stood out for you, even though he obviously played a long time ago?
Yeah, it was incredible. The reason I know about it was because that was the first book I read in elementary school, his biography. So his relentless passion and effort for the game was unmatched around that time, and just how incredible and graceful he was on the field and who he was as a person off the field. So that's really important, and hopefully I can bring some of that to the Chicago Bears organization.
How about when you're walking through Hell's Hall and even going through the Payton Center itself? What was that moment like?
I haven't been to the Payton Center yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I wish they brought me on a visit so I could see what Chicago has to have, but now that I'm here, I knew it was a place to be, and the facility and everything here is incredible, and I can't wait to get back to Chicago to the winning tradition and great legacy that is here.
We can talk a little bit of football. Going back to the Stanford game, so this ends up being your last drive in college. As I watched your tape, that really stood out to me because, I mean, your guys must have dropped three balls on you that in that single drive. I mean, I've been joking. You threw four touchdowns on one drive, which I don't think I've ever seen that before, but it's basically what you did. What about your makeup or what you've been able to experience throughout your football career got you through that? I mean, to be able to grind through that drive and still get to that point and score.
Yeah, for me, it's all about I always believe in my teammates no matter what. And Everyone's human. Everyone makes mistakes. But it's my job to put my guys in the best opportunity, in the best situation every single play. And you just got to keep your poise, stay calm, and never be never lose your focus. So for me, it's all about the next play. There's nothing you can do about the last play. So when something goes wrong, it's about the next play and doing whatever you can to score on that play. So I'm never going to give up on my guys. And each set of play, I'm going to leave it on the field.
We got to wrap this up soon, but what's your message to Bears fans? Why can you be the guy finally for this organization?
I'm just very hungry and passionate, just like the Bears fans are, and they're ready to win. And my competitiveness and my willingness to do whatever it takes is what I'm going to do for this organization. So I'm very excited to be part of the Chicago Bears and for all the Bears fans out there.
Well, good luck, Mitchell. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
I'm in. I'm all in.
I don't believe you.
Nah, I got to see him play, but...
Was he better there? Did he move up the radio interview draft board for you?
He was fine.
All right, let me take you maybe behind the scenes a little bit, because this is a transition to something we need to talk about. So right before that interview started,
mm-hmm.
you know, we introduced ourselves, maybe had a quick minute of conversation about him being, you know, in the city, and he told us that he was trying hard to get to the Bulls game.
I appreciate that. That's big.
And what that's cool, but the reasoning is he really wanted to take in the Chicago sports scene. He said that on his own. He brought this up on his own.
I'd like to apologize for Chicago that's what he took in.
He seriously was like, yeah, I want to start taking in the Chicago sports scene and understand what's going on here. And I'm like, that's awesome. That's cool. So he goes to the Bulls game. And how does he get welcomed, Carm?
They booed him.
Well, they booed the jersey, right?
It was put on the big board. They didn't know that he was there. They started mostly booing, and then they show him, or they realize that he's there, and it kind of got a little friendlier.
And should...
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Mitchell Trubisky did not trade up to draft himself.
But that's not how sports works. Guys get booed all the time.
But why are you booing him?
They're not booing him. They're booing Ryan Pace. They're booing the McCaskies. They're booing the Bears. They're booing how bad the team has been for decades now. That's what they're booing. It's got nothing to do with Trubisky, or very little.
It's
right?
Ridiculous.
Of course.
It's absolutely ridiculous. You have a quarterback, the most important position in sports, coming into a market starving for a quarterback. The pressures of that are unbelievable, to the point that quarterback after quarterback after quarterback after quarterback after quarterback in this town has not been able to handle it. So the first thing you're going to do is boo him? Do you not understand what's happening here?
And it's a quarterback you use the second draft pick on. And it's a position, I mean, they haven't drafted a quarterback first round since Rex Grossman. You know, I mean, they've only gone this long waiting for a quarterback in the draft one other time. And it was like before Jim McMahon. It was like 31 years before McMahon.
Do you think there's the same reaction if Deshaun Watson was his pick?
If they had traded up the same way.
I think if Deshaun Watson was the pick, trade or no trade, the city loves it.
Because we just saw him win a championship.
Yeah, because he was on TV in the last two national champs. And that's the only reason. And because they probably read it in the Chicago Tribune five times last week that Watson would be a great pick. And that's it. It makes no sense to me when Trubisky's the better pro prospect. You should be happier about it. It's crazy to me.
Bulls fans were having a rough night. Season was coming to an end. They've been watching Dwayne Wade. They've been watching...
All the more reason to be excited about the Bears quarterback.
They couldn't get over it. Yes.
Carm, in the NBA, fans get so upset when you draft a European player that they don't know, as opposed to drafting a college player who's not as good, but they've seen him play.
Right, Dirk Nowitzki. You're absolutely right. Dirk Nowitzki got booed. Porzingis was...
Right.
Yeah, sure. Sure. What we don't understand, we tend to get angry at. Fine. Listen, they're Bulls fans... Fans in general, booing 96% of the time is unwarranted and unfair and moronic, and it doesn't help.
How do you think Trubisky handled the booing?
I think he handled it well. He took pictures, right? didn't leave the stadium? I mean, what was his exact reaction?
He picked a bad game to go to.
It was a rough night.
He didn't know it was an elimination game. I told him that. I said it's a good thing you're going tonight because I think it's going to be the last game of the year. And he goes, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, they're down 3-2 in the series.
See, now, again, come on, man. Be dialed in.
How's he supposed to know that?
He's folk.
Follow the NBA. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
His whole life is on the line this week.
I'm kidding.
Boy, I'm thinking he's lucky he didn't see the Blackhawks when they played Nashville.
Right. I mean, get him to a Cub game. That would make sense.
Or a first-place White Sox game.
That's true, too. Red Hot Sox.
Let's go see Avi Garcia.
Right. All right. Well, hey, man, listen. We're going to move on. Before we finish up, I want to just go over the other four picks because we've been talking all Mitchell Trubisky here.
I think we should go over the schedule and figure out how many games they'll win.
312-981-7200. We can do that, Bears. Opening up with Atlanta. 1-0, Bears.
Over under week 10, Trubisky starting a game.
Oh.
Actually, not starting, playing in a game.
Oh, I think he'll play in a game by week 10.
So do I. I think
because of injuries?
They could be up or down.
Get him in there?
They could be down several points, and yeah, you'd play him.
It makes the preseason interesting, doesn't it?
Makes preseason interesting.
You're going to want to see him play.
It makes them way more interesting.
That's the other side of this. The Bears are relevant all of a sudden. Nationally, too. I mean, this was the story.
Let's not get crazy.
No, but this was the story of draft night.
It was the biggest story, because it was a surprise, because nobody saw it coming.
And it was the quarterback, and it was the first quarterback, and they shocked everybody. The Bears stole the draft.
Yeah.
I just want to be able to play this tape back in 2021 when we're all sitting here having a apple slice and a tuna sandwich and a bad muffin from...
Bad muffin was unbelievable.
He raved about it.
Great muffin from Walgreens.
Top five muffins I've ever had.
Yeah. I want it on tape that...
I'd like to go through that list of the other four muffins.
How many quarterbacks have been drafted so far?
Well,
10?
Chad Kelly just got drafted.
I mean, how many were picked in the first round? You had...
Three were picked in the first round.
Yes.
Okay.
DeSean Kizer
went
fell,
to Cleveland.
Which I told you was going to happen.
Then three more went. There were seven taken after last night. Four last night, three on the first day.
Okay. You think that Mitchell Trubisky is going to be the best quarterback of them all, Harry?
I sure hope so.
Mm-hmm. But if you had to bet, if you had to make a wager right now, knowing what you know, which I grant is probably not a ton, I'm assuming you do have...
Excuse me?
How many games of Trubisky have you watched?
I actually watch you forget A, that I like point spreads, and B, how depressing my life has been. So I've got the time to watch a lot of these games. But Hoga's right when he says Watson has been featured. Clemson has been on TV almost as much as Alabama and Notre Dame. I mean,
sure.
They're on TV every week. But, I mean, everybody's on TV every week these days because you just flip to the right channel, you can watch your games. I think Mahomes and Trubisky have bigger upside than Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
I completely agree.
I'm going that of the first round quarterbacks, I think he'll be number three.
And have you seen have you seen a play where Mahomes is running one
left
way
and throwing with
back?
His right? Yeah. It's ridiculous.
He flicked his wrist and the ball went 50 yards.
Just ridiculous.
It's crazy. But the thing about Mahomes is he needs to sit even longer than Trubisky. He has zero mechanics.
And he can.
He has zero mechanics, zero feel in the pocket. So this, again, to me, and I think this is something that Ryan Pace and I agree on because he immediately talked about this Thursday night. What happens in a muddied pocket when things start to get crazy in a pocket after the snap, that is like everything for a quarterback. Mm-hmm. What you do, and this gets back to the decision-making, Carm, what you do in that moment, and you also have to have the physical ability, but a lot of it's instincts. Trubisky, if you watch him on tape, he's so good at sidestepping. You know, just a tiny little, you know who's really good at that? Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is phenomenal at that. And he could throw, you know, where it's not necessarily that his mechanics are bad on a play, it's because it's his only option to get rid of the football, okay? And Trubisky doesn't have Rodgers' arm, but he does have that instinct in the pocket. Mahomes runs away. The second there's pressure, he bails, which was something Jay Cutler did.
Steve Young was like one of the greatest running quarterbacks ever. Aaron Rodgers is not a running quarterback, but he has the ability to get the first down, to get touchdowns.
That's Trubisky.
Let's hope. Let's hope.
It's not that he's a running quarterback. It's that he can run when he needs to.
Got to take a quick timeout. I a little bit on Tariq Cohn, the running back the Bears took. Jordan Morgan, who is an offensive lineman. Eddie Jackson, safety, maybe a corner. Adam Shaheen, tight end. A little bit on that, and then I'm going to rant for a minute on the Bulls.
I'll give you the
after six.
The two problems I do have with this draft.
Okay, great. Coming right back. 720 WGN. B. Kaminsk on Twitter. Adam, you are roasting at the Carm on this Trubisky pace debate. Thank you. Would you like to tell Brandon Kaminsky you're welcome? Have I been roasted? Dan, have I been roasted by Hogue? What do you think? Roasted? Fully roasted? Dark roast?
Medium,
roasted?
I would say,
medium dark.
What do you think, Harry? Medium roasted?
No, I wouldn't say roasted.
I got to be honest. I feel a little bit roasted. I don't think I certainly have not won the debate.
I feel like we're at a fire pit, and we're all just sitting around the fire pit. There's no roasting. There doesn't always have to be a winner and a loser, you know?
Yes, there is. There's always a winner, always a loser.
I think you've been roasted.
It's not just a conversation here on 720 WGN. We're looking for winners and losers.
You know what we should do? We should play the live reaction to the Bears drafting.
We can play that.
It's Trubisky.
By the way, we're going to have
entertaining.
We have the head coach, Rod Broadway, coming up right after 6 o'clock. You don't know who Rod Broadway is. You're not alone. But he's the head coach of North Carolina A&T, which makes him the head coach of the Bears' newest running back, Tariq Cohn.
Yes. But
5'6", 175, scat back.
But unlike some of these other schools Ryan Pace is taking guys from, at least we immediately know what state this school
that's
is in.
That's true. Ashland University. Who knows what state that's in? Go.
Ohio.
We know it because we had the coach on.
We literally just talked to that coach.
I was putting it out there for the 312-981-7200s, not you two. Anybody listening around here? And then our other guy, Jordan Morgan. Straight out of Puttstown.
By the way, how great is it? It's on the TV right now. I don't know if you saw that real quick before they changed.
Cutstown.
When
Pennsylvania.
When Adam Shaheen, not Adam Levine, scores touchdowns, he has to run into trees.
That's awesome.
Like, it goes end zone, trees.
What do you mean he runs into trees?
Like,
because of the stadium.
Georgia, they have the hedges.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Well, instead of like hedges, it's like trees.
He's got a willow that he runs around?
So it's like, they're like, they look like Christmas trees.
We get like the Stanford mascot to come to every game. Make them feel at home.
It's funny. This guy goes from like, all right, I scored. I have to dodge a tree now to Soldier Field.
And now I'm in the NFL, baby. All right. After six, Rod Broadway. That pushes back my Bulls meltdown to 6:30. It's fine.
6:20. You can start your meltdown earlier.
Maybe 6:20.
They started theirs earlier last night than they were to.
That's true. They did. All right, quick timeout. We'll get the news on time. They'll have Rod Broadway, who will tell you why the Bears picked the right running back. 720 WGN.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
5'6", 175 pounds, Tariq Cohn. One of your newest Chicago Bears, shifty, fast, nicknamed the human joystick. A lot to like right there. I'm Mark Carman, he's Harry Tynowitz, he's Adam Hogue. Let's bring in his head coach, Rod Broadway, North Carolina A&T, taking some time out on a Saturday evening before he perhaps has a fine, fine dinner in the Carolina State. Hey, Coach, thanks for taking time here. What do the Bears have in one of your guys coming over?
You know, thank you for having us, but a special talent and a special person. He's unbelievable. And if he was 4 or 5 inches taller, he would probably have been a first rounder. But because of Mike, he's a fourth rounder. But he's a special person and a special talent. And I think the people in Chicago will fall in love with this kid.
Coach, I flipped on the tape today, and – watched a couple of your games, and, man, it looked like Tariq was a huge part of your offense, and you guys just got him the ball any way you can. Can you explain to us a little bit about how you used him in your offense and what he was able to do? Because it certainly seemed like, specifically against Kent State, they really had a hard time getting him to the ground, and he made some incredible plays in that game.
Well, he made some incredible plays in all games. And, you know, we try to isolate him on linebackers, which no one could cover, and try to get him in some one-on-one matchup against some safeties, which, you know, not many people could handle. And we just try to get him the ball in the open field. But he's also a great runner between the tackles. And, you know, he's played the year three times in our league, which is outstanding. All-time leading rusher in our league. And he's capable of doing something special every day. And, you know, I've had the kid for 4 years, and I say this, I've never seen a kid down or in a bad mood. He's a joy to be around.
That's huge.
Coach Broadway, you know, we're going through all the information we can on him, but what are we not going to find? What can you tell us about Tariq that we don't know from just, you know, reading all the stories?
Well, you're not going to find any negative things about him, any character flaws. His work ethic is outstanding. His personality is outstanding. Great team guy. I mean, when I say great, great team guy, he always keep people going in practice. Always come to work every day. And he's a gym rat. Loves the game, loves to compete, and is capable of making big plays in the league.
Coach, the Bears could use a little help with a kick returner, punt returner. Did he do that at all for you? It sounds like he did not. Do you think that he could slide into that role?
Oh, of course. We put him in against Bethune-Cookman, who's been a power in this league for years, and they kicked it to him. He returned the only punt. He had 70 yards for a touchdown. Has great hands, great ball skills, and judge it. And, of course, great change of direction and stop-and-go speed. So, of course, he can return punts, kickoffs. He can do anything. The kid really is. He's a special kid. He's a special talent.
Why didn't you have him do more in the return game?
Well, he was too valuable to us.
That's what I figured. Okay.
You know, as a running back. And, you know, we probably could have helped him as far as his future is concerned by putting him on more special teams. But because of his value to us as a team, we felt that we needed more on offense. Didn't want to take a chance on special teams because we needed more offense.
Talking to Rod Broadway, who's the head coach at North Carolina A&T, who coached Tariq Cohen, the new Bears running back, who I think a lot of people were surprised the Bears went with the running back, but he's certainly a unique running back in the sense that a lot of people call him a scat back. And Ryan Pace comes from New Orleans, where he had a guy named Darren Sproles there, and I imagine that's kind of what they're thinking here in terms of how Cohen can help the Bears. What was, you know, teams wanted to always talk to the prospects' head coaches throughout this process. What was kind of some of the feedback and big questions you got from NFL teams, whether it was the Bears or other teams? And did you have any sense he might end up in Chicago? And were you surprised at all that he went as early as he did? Because I think some kind of had him more, you know, pegged maybe even a little bit later in this draft.
Well, we heard anything from 3 to 5, okay, is what we kept hearing. And, you know, I thought there were some more teams that would have taken him earlier, but, you know, they passed on him. But I think Chicago is a great pick for him, you know, so like that. The press coverage he get up there and his ability to make plays. Again, I think he'll win the city over, and I think you guys are going to love him once you see what this kid can do. And I'm not talking about on Sundays. I'm talking about every day. And there's something special with this kid every day in practice.
Is he a guy that they could line up as a wideout and let him go long?
Of course, I think he's 4.4 something, but probably faster than that compared to speed wise. He's one of those guys that plays faster than he actually runs in the 40. You put on the Bethune-Cookman and see some angles that he outran this year, and even Hampton's people that he played. He has great hands, great ball skills, so he can play a slot receiver for you, make some plays in that area also.
Coach, I'm going to read you what they say about his weaknesses. Feel free to pick them apart. Too eager to bounce everything, takes his share of negative yardage carries. Feet are electric, but footwork and run track on zone plays needs work. What would you say?
Well, they got them. They can work on it. You know, fix what you need to fix. And, you know, we gave him a green light. And, of course, you know, because of his big playability, he always had an option of bouncing things. And, you know, those kids, I didn't feel like you need to slow them down. There's some times that I would like for him to hit it up in there and be a little bit more patient. But sometimes he had a tendency to, you know, bounce the thing. And, of course, he made enough plays for us that we continue to let him bounce the thing. But I don't know if you can change the guy's running style, you know, with the success he's had because he's a little hesitant to really stick it up in there sometimes. But as I said earlier, he was a great inside runner for us.
Barry Sanders bounced a lot of runs. Not saying he's Barry Sanders, but, you know, that's not exactly a terrible thing to do if you're super talented.
But I will say, you know, watching the tape today, there were plenty of times where he kind of got stuck in the middle and he managed to bounce right out and somehow get out of those situations and get to the outside. Coach, I want to ask you, you touched on a little bit earlier about how you'd try to create matchups against linebackers and safeties. His receiving ability, can you give us some insight on that? I didn't see any problems with his hands, but you obviously know him a lot better than I do just watching a couple tapes today.
Well, he has great hands. You know, even in pro day, man, they were shooting balls at him from the jugs machine, and he was running down, and he was catching everything. And there was one, they overthrew the 20 yards, and he hit that gear that I hadn't seen. I hadn't for 4 years, and he ran out of it, and everybody dropped. But he has great hands and great ball skills. You know, he can make all the catches, you know. So this kid, I'm going to say it again, the kid's special. You guys are going to be surprised once you get him to see what this kid's capable of doing.
Can you play with a Tar Heel?
Hey, pardon?
Can he play with a Tar Heel? I mean, he's going to have to deal with Mitch Trubisky here, Coach.
Well, I'm a Tar Heel.
Okay.
So, of course. And you know what? And tell those people don't sleep on their Tar Heel up there either now. The last Tar Heel y'all took out in North Carolina, he did well for that city. So don't sleep on your quarterback coming in there.
Right. Coach, you were at Chapel Hill when Phil Ford was there, right?
That's correct.
Man, that guy was unbelievable. He was Rookie of the Year in the NBA.
Yeah, yes, Phil, and he was a great college player. And, you know, we had some great college players. You know, Mitch Kupchak, gentleman for the Los Angeles Lakers was there. Walter Davis, who played for 10, 12 years with who was that?
Phoenix, right? Oh, Korn was on that team, right?
Yeah, he came in probably 75, 76. We had some players then.
I mean, my favorite town in Carolina, Coach, is Wilmington, and it will always be it will always be Wilmington. So we thank you for 23, forever and always.
Well, I tell you what, he was special too, wasn't he?
He absolutely was. All right, so and I just heard you say something about Mitch Trubisky there. You like this guy, huh?
I love this guy.
Really?
Love this guy. I think he's got a lot of tools. And I think he's going to be an outstanding player, you know. And, you know, I think he'd be an outstanding pro. I think he has a lot of things. He has strong arm, great touch, you know, great knowledge. He's a good choice, I think.
Okay. All right. That's a good running back, good quarterback. That's always a good thing on a draft. Hey, Coach, thanks so much for taking time. And we appreciate you jumping on here on 720 WGN.
All right, thank you, guys, and good luck to you.
Absolutely. Rod Broadway, the head coach of North Carolina A&T, head coach of Tariq Cohen. You guys feeling good about that?
I liked him. And shout out to Dan Long, who's doing a tremendous job
downtown
today,
Danny Long,
bringing us some insight. You know, I love talking to college coaches right after their guys get drafted. I mean, you get not only insight on the player, but kind of insight on the scouting process and how a team – landed on the decision to grab their player.
And there's simply stuff we can't see, you know. Yeah. You can go online for, you know, 6 weeks and not find out, you know, one thing that a coach could just tell you.
Well, for me, the biggest thing I want to know, because watching him, I'm going, this guy could be a great kick returner. Why didn't they use him as a returner? And we just got that answer. I mean, it's what I figured.
Right, too important.
He was touching the ball like on every play, and you don't want that guy to get hurt because then your whole season's over. And the return game is a dangerous part of football, especially in the NFL.
I've often had that argument. Even had that argument about R.W. McQuarters once, that he was too valuable. Hey, how sad is that? He was too valuable to the defense to have a return.
You know, that's why I always thought all the discussions we had over the years about Devin Hester, every single offseason, they got to get him into the offense. They had to figure out how to use this guy. And I, all those years, I just kept going, what's wrong with him just being a returner? It's okay if that's his job. He's the best ever. He changes the game. He helps the offense. He helps the defense. And he doesn't need to be on the field at other times because he might just get hurt doing that.
Right, but I'm greedy. I was one of those people. I'm like, you got a game changer there. You got a guy you could just, you know, and you saw it, like that Monday night game against the Cowboys. You know, you'd see a little of it and you get greedy.
I just remember one year covering the team and they're like, this was probably towards the end of his career. Mm-hmm. He was still good, but it was slowing down. They're like, can you afford to keep Devin Hester on the 53-man roster if the only thing he can do is return? And I'm going, are you nuts? He's the greatest returner of all time. Do you know what the roster turnover is in the NFL every single week? The 53rd guy on the roster? Yes, you can keep him on the roster.
Well, it was interesting to me about what he was saying with Tariq Cohen. He didn't put him as a returner because he needed him as a running back, but he might be negatively impacting his professional career because that's what he's going to be, or at least partly going to enhance his value.
If he's going to be a third down scat back or specialty type weapon in the Bears offense, he better be contributing as a returner too.
I would think, right?
You know, it's going to be a great Chicago bar trivia question 10 years from now. What team did Devin Hester end his career with? Because a lot of people won't remember.
Who was it?
It was the Baltimore Ravens.
Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He signed for like 1 week this season.
Right,
he played
two games for the Seahawks.
Wow. Don't remember that at all.
Yeah, no, now that you say that, I do.
Oh, well, you're going to...
In the playoffs.
You're going to win yourself a shot or two.
Devin Hester made the playoffs this year.
Devin Hester was on the Seahawks in the playoffs this year?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, then. Were the Bears in the playoffs?
No.
Right.
And last everyone's... year or this coming season?
Yeah. I was saying last, but
and everyone's
go
mad
with this one too.
Because they drafted the quarterback to get to the playoffs.
All right. On that note,
I can't believe you don't want to talk about the Bulls, Carm.
I've been biting my tongue, Harry. Here we go. My thoughts on the Bulls and their season being over coming up, 720 WGN.
Final 15 seconds, we'll tick off the clock. The Celtics arrived at the United Center 1 week ago, their season looking dead on arrival. They didn't just win one. They didn't just win two. They win four straight. They become the third team in NBA history to lose the first two games at home and advance. The final score in Game 6, Boston 105, Chicago 83.
I understand the frustration. It was a frustrating game. There's no doubt about that, to go out this way. And, you know, again, the high note to start the series, the way we got out to a 2-0 lead, and we couldn't finish it off.
Fred Hoiberg, and that was Sean Graham, Boston Celtic Radio.
Fred Trestman?
Maybe. Huh. They went with the Fire Hoiberg chant last night, late in the fourth quarter.
Did you see the video of Brad Stevens?
No.
There's a great video someone caught while they're doing the Fire Hoiberg chant. He looks up at the crowd and he mumbles, "Shut up."
That's awesome.
Is awesome. I liked it.
Yeah. Well, coaches support coaches, and I thought that was pretty unfair to Fred. If you're going to be screaming fire anybody, it could be fire Pax or fire Gar before you would say fire Fred. I think that if you're really going to go that route, it'd be a little bit more representative to the roster than the coaching job.
I think if Tom Thibodeau was coaching this team, they would have beaten the Celtics.
I think that's a very fair chance that they would have. Here, I thought that the way that it ended last night, if you stayed to the bitter end or watched to the bitter end like I did, and I had an event last night, so I couldn't go to the game. There was no TV where I was at, so I'm watching on my phone and just watching the scores. And so I watched it this morning, and I knew what was going to happen. And to me, rewatching it, I thought they were more competitive, at least in the first half, than the score indicated. I mean, Boston was just red hot. They were bearing threes all over the court. But for the way it ended, for like Jerry and Grant to throw this sad pass to Bobby Portis and it's deflected and the Celtics walk up the court and the place is booing. I mean, what a sad ending. And my biggest takeaway for the Bulls from watching them in the playoffs, this is such an incredibly soft team. They lack toughness all over the court. The Boston Celtics got up in their face, and time and time again, they were bullied by Jay Crowder. They were bullied by Avery Bradley. They were Isaiah Thomas, 5 foot 8 inches of him, was screaming at him in their face, and no one did anything.
This was a one seed ripe for the picking. This is one of the worst one seeds ever in the history of the NBA playoffs, and I think that the Wizards will blow them out.
Do you really?
Yeah, I think Boston's going down at the hands of John Wall and Bradley Beal and Martin Gortat. And, you know, the Bulls were, in games 3 and 4, they were the same game. The Bulls were down so much, they had to expend all their energy just to come back. And the energy was gone. And in the fourth quarter of game 5, they were up 2. They were up 2 in the fourth quarter of game 5, and then they just went away.
Full wilt. Here's another thing. There's this, and I've been hoping that the Bulls would trade Jimmy Butler to the Boston Celtics. Not that I want the Bulls to get rid of Jimmy Butler, but I just don't see any way they're going to win with Jimmy Butler. So you might as well be aggressive and quit hesitating and living your life in total fear and move forward and rebuild the team. If I'm the Boston Celtics, and let's say the Bulls wanted Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, and your number one pick, which could be a top three pick, if I'm Boston, there's no way I'm making that deal. No chance. And so I don't know what the Bulls exactly expect. But Avery Bradley, that kid's 23 years old. He's a defensive monster. It matters to me how guys are leadership-wise. You listen to him in the postgame, he was as impressive as anybody you'd want to be around. And he scored the basketball. I'm not giving up that guy, another solid role guy in Jay Crowder, and a potential stud number one pick for Jimmy Butler. No chance I'm doing that. So I don't see that. Like, that's the trade you want him to make, and I don't see that at all happening. Danny Ainge isn't an idiot. He's not making that deal. But I also think, like, the long-winded here, sorry. I also think, like, Jimmy, like, the Celtics are close, and you put Butler on that team.
I think Butler makes them.
But if you're Boston, they're right there. But if you're Boston, you get to share the ball, Isaiah Thomas and him. Like, that would be an interesting pairing there. Isaiah Thomas is the ball all the time.
What did Cleveland think of Boston? How worried was Cleveland about Boston?
Not the least bit worried.
Into the playoffs.
Not the least bit worried.
Because they rested.
They basically tanked. Right. Did not care that they were
the one seed. And they played them in a game that they had to have, and they beat them by 70. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Look, the problems here, it just... It amazes me that Gar Foreman and John Paxson could still be safe. It's unbelievable. I mean, let's just look at like the most recent move that makes zero sense. Okay, and actually, I'm not even saying it makes zero sense because the situation that they were in dictated that they had to even like go here.
But such a bad trade.
The trade with Oklahoma. You gave up Doug McDermott and Taj Gibson. Two former first-round picks, one of which was a bust. And that bust, you traded two first-round picks to acquire.
Yep.
So you just traded four first-rounders for, what was it, a bunch of garbage and campaign who couldn't even dress in the playoffs. I mean, that is so mind-boggling to me, and it's just one small example of the incompetence with the Chicago Bulls. And yes, it's a flawed roster. And yes, I don't blame Hoiberg for sort of being lost in who the heck to even put on the court.
I blame him on part of that. But some of it's...
But part of it made no sense. And then you even look at the last first rounder. Denzel Valentine can't see the court.
How does that happen?
The head coach can't figure out who to play because no one's good enough. And the first rounder can't get on the court. So what did that goes back? Everything here goes back to the front office. Everything does.
And Bobby Portis, talk about it when we come back.
We could talk about Portis versus Mirotić for 5 seconds coming back here too. We got to get into news in a second. 720 WGN. WGN 6:37. Amy Guth coming up at 7. He's Adam Hoge. He's Harry Tynowitz. I'm Mark Carmen. This is The Beat. Bulls season is over. The biggest star of this Bulls season, hands down, without question, Rajon Rondo. suspended, threw a towel in the face of Jim Boylan, ended up out of the starting lineup, not playing, then all of a sudden put back in the lineup.
Well, you're saying biggest story?
I think he was the biggest star.
Jimmy Butler was better.
He was, but like Rondo being inserted back in the starting lineup down the stretch, that got him into the playoffs. Rondo in the playoffs on the court. I'm not saying he's the best player on the team, but he had
Maybe he was the MVP.
He had the biggest.
Is that what you're saying?
I think he had the biggest impact on that roster. He stepped up when Butler and Wade were complaining about the young guys. He puts out his Instagram post, "My Vets," and he's talking about Garnett and he's talking about Paul Pierce. They didn't, you know, they went out and laid it on the line every practice.
I actually liked that at the time. That,
it was phenomenal.
Because I thought Butler and Wade were acting.
Nobody else was standing up to Butler and Wade.
And from what I understand, that earned him a ton of respect in the locker room, right?
The young guys, Bobby Portis is calling him the best, you know, like a brother to him. Mirotić is saying that he's the second or, you know, two favorite players he's ever played with, Rondo and Pau Gasol.
I have a legitimate question that I don't know the answer to that I'm wondering if you do because you know the Bulls better. Does Hoiberg deserve any credit for things not getting completely out of hand after that whole incident happened?
That's hard to say.
Because I thought at the time, I'm like, this season's about to turn into the 2014 Chicago Bears.
I don't think he gets much credit because they had a team meeting. It was super awkward, and those guys led that meeting. It wasn't. I wasn't in the room, but I would highly doubt that Fred was in there orchestrating. Hey, let's play Kumbaya. I'm sure they all got in there and they put out their beefs and they moved forward. So, I mean, Fred doesn't get, you know, I guess he gets a slight gold star for allowing the meeting to happen.
What has to happen to have a complete regime change?
I don't know.
Does it ever happen?
I don't know.
There's franchises just completely happy with being mediocre.
Reinsdorf's history is that he really doesn't do that a whole lot, and it was shocking when he fired Thibodeau, the lengthy statement that he released, because normally it's just like a, you know, we thank him and we say goodbye. And he had it all on him. He had a page on him. You know, Michael Reinsdorf, you know, could do things differently. Michael Reinsdorf's got the keys to the car now.
See, and that's the thing. Michael Reinsdorf, by all accounts, is very tight with Gar Forman. Their wives are tight. And so it seems like Gar is actually safer than Pax. And I don't think Pax is going anywhere either. Or Gar at least has more power than Pax. And that's just messed up. If you were going to pick between those two as to who you want making the decisions, you pick John Paxson. And John Paxson, if he's watching this team, which I know he is, John Paxson was an incredible competitor when he played. John Paxson got every ounce out of his talent. For John Paxson to sit there and watch the effort level that he's getting and the toughness that he's getting from a bunch of guys on this team, it's got to make him puke. It has to.
It's nuts how they're fighting for their lives and they're playing guys that have never played. You know, I mean, Anthony Morrow, since he came over here, hasn't even, like, gotten in the games, really. And well, now he's playing in these crucial games.
Russian roulette. Let's put Morrow out there. Jerian Grant's a starter. Okay, let's not play him at all. Let's continue.
MCW's a starter. Oh, no, now he's on the bench.
Right. It's
The Bobby Portis thing, which drove me crazy earlier this season, is Bobby Portis is the number one pick, obviously, SEC Player of the Year at Arkansas. And they chose to not even put him in the games for weeks. You destroy his trade value when you do that.
Well, the other thing is, look, when Bobby Portis is on the court, you know what Bobby Portis did? He played hard.
Energized.
Yes.
He energized.
He was always ready to go. You play that guy. You know, Nico's sleeping through it half the time. I would have played Portis more this year. At least you know what you have. And he got better, too. He shot the ball better. Anyway, 312-981-7200. One question for Bulls fans. Do you want Jimmy back? Or do you make the best trade that you possibly can make? What do you do if you're the Bulls right now? You got 2 years left with this guy. He's going to be 30 years old. He's going to get a huge contract. How do you get from wherever you are to where you want to go?
Well, I have a question. If you trade him for draft picks, what faith do you have that they're going to do anything with these picks?
That's fair.
I mean, I'm looking at the draft history right here. We're talking about a decade now. Denzel Valentine, Bobby Portis, Doug McDermott, which comes after a draft trade.
The McDermott one's atrocious. Go ahead.
Tony Snell, Marquise Teague.
Before you go any further,
unbelievable.
Tony Snell, he had the last pass that he made this year was picked off when the Bucks season ended. I don't know if you saw that they were down 3 with 3 seconds to go. He inbounded the ball. The Milwaukee Bucks were down 8 gazillion points at home to the Raptors the other night. Matthew Dellavedova, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who else was I'll give Tony Snell credit. Those guys battled their ass off in their last game at home. The Bradley Center was going bananas. It was opposite the draft. You guys probably weren't watching. That team showed a ton of heart. The complete polar opposite of the Bulls.
Yep.
Antetokounmpo might be one of the great players in the game.
No question.
But who are the good picks here? Jimmy Butler is a good pick. And Taj Gibson is a good pick. Otherwise, let's keep going. James Johnson.
Loser.
Ooh, he was the credit guy.
Derrick Rose, you don't even get credit for because he fell in your lap. You won the lottery.
Right.
You don't get credit for that. Sorry. Noah.
Great pick.
That was a great pick.
But you know what year we're talking about?
That
was 2007.
Yeah, long time.
2007. And that was just a year after the LaMarcus Aldridge.
Giveaway.
Debacle.
Which still drives me crazy.
Right.
So what about that last decade that I just rattled off gives you any faith that this is going to get turned? I mean, the Bears bad drafting. You don't get a decade.
I agree.
You get a decade of bad drafting.
It's hard in the NBA. It's the NFL draft. It's a lot more depth, and obviously it's easier to hit later in the draft and whatnot. However, the Doug McDermott draft, when you had Zach LaVine, who's going to be an all-star most likely, Gary Harris, who's a very good player for the Nuggets, the big man.
That's the guy you traded.
Right.
Gary Harris was in your – he goes down as your pick, just like LaMarcus Aldridge does. And yet, bye.
Yeah, like, they temporarily were
wearing Bulls clothes.
Right. Real quick, Mike, thank God somebody wants to talk Bulls. Makes me feel good. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Listen, I don't know what's going on, but I'm just so tired of – I'm a huge basketball fan, huge. I mean, grew up in the Michael Jordan era. My problem with this whole thing with Paxson and Gar and this whole thing, it's gotten to the point where I can't even watch basketball anymore. I can't even enjoy it. It's just horrid, just bad basketball. It's a shame. It's a shame. And this big market, we've got such a losing team. It's gotten horrific.
Did you like 1 and 2 though, Mike, when they were up 2-0?
Yeah, it's obviously it shocked all of us, you know. But bad coaching. I mean, what is he doing? Games 3 and 4. Unfortunately, yeah, Rondo goes down. I mean, there's nothing we can do about that. But somebody could have stepped up. Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade had you know, they just didn't do it throughout the series either.
Right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you.
Hey, Carm, how does Jimmy Butler, like, go to the free throw line so often in one game and then not go at all, and then he goes 23 times the next game, and then he goes once the next game?
Well, people were saying because he hurt his knee. I don't know what's going on in Jimmy's knee, and he was limping around on the court last night a bunch. So maybe that was part of the reason why he didn't go to the – why he didn't get fouled a lot in Game 5. But he also had the same discrepancy from 2 to 3. So, listen, Jimmy last night was competing enormously.
And he has since he got here. You know, and Adam, we're talking about the first draft picks. Jimmy Butler was the first draft pick who has been unbelievable.
Yeah.
He was a defensive specialist, and he became a spectacular player, an all-star.
Yeah. But one pick over a decade? And I'd say Taj was good, too.
Yeah, it's not enough.
How much of that, though, do you get? I mean, no, I'm not going to take anything away from the credit from the pick. It was a good pick, but I'm not even sure the Bulls could have known that Jimmy was going to kind of revolutionize his own game that way. and become the scorer that he has. Because I don't think the Bulls drafted him like, I mean, I think they looked at him like a tremendous defensive player who they could use. I don't know that they thought he was ever going to develop into the scorer.
They get a ton of credit for drafting Butler, even though there's no way they forecasted that he was going to be this. However, they also get bonged for when he was when they were negotiating with him, and they could have signed him to a 4-year deal for $52 million. They didn't do it, and they played poker with him and lost, and they were reportedly offering like $44 million, so we're talking about $8 million difference, and they end up paying him 90. If I'm Jerry Reinsdorf, I'm looking at him like, hey, Gar Foreman, you just cost me $40 million. You're fired. On that alone.
Right, 773, why is Adam a Hoiberg apologist? Just because I'm attacking the front office doesn't mean that I am apologizing for Hoiberg. He hasn't shown anything in 2 years. I just called him Fred Tressman. What are you talking about?
I think there's a lot of Bulls fans that say, how can you gauge Hoiberg's coaching ability with the roster he has?
Yeah, but okay, that's fine, but it was his rotations were some of the most. I can't even speak. His rotations were so bizarre.
They didn't make any sense.
It was so random. Are you kidding?
Random.
You didn't play.
It was like he rolled dice.
Right. You didn't play Denzel Valentine all playoff. Now he's in Game 6 when the season's on the line. Anthony Morrow couldn't get off the bench in April or March. Now he's playing in Game 5 and Game 6. And
Isaiah Cannon.
Your borderline running plays from Isaiah Cannon played 42 minutes since December 15th. Now he's indispensable and he's in the lineup. Dude!
Who was that guy that pulled out of the stands in that one game? I mean, you actually suggested he should play that night.
Joffrey Laverne?
Yes!
And that was the other thing.
What was that? That guy, they pulled that guy out of the stands.
Don't you wish they had kept that?
I'm not kidding. He was on the court. I'm like, who is that? I do not know who that is.
Remember like 5 years ago, they had that player, Paul Shirley? Wouldn't it be great if they had Laverne and Shirley?
How about Paul? And then Paul Zipser. Oh, and that's a good pick, by the way. But are you kidding me? Paul Zipser, you're going to make him the point guard right now in game 5 of the playoffs? Dude, play Jerry and Grant. What are you doing? I don't start him, but you want to give Wade or whoever Butler some time away from the point. Put a real point guard out there. Don't ask Paul Zipser to run the point.
But
what are you nuts?
This keeps going. You had
Paul Zipser.
You went through
the
Vinny Del Negro era. Remember how ridiculous
that was? Two
ugly
seasons.
You found a head coach. You actually made a great hire. And you couldn't exist with him to the point that you had to get rid of him. And then you hired Vinny Del Hoiberg.
It was
That's what you did.
It was terrible the way that they couldn't exist with Tibbs. Watch what he does in Minnesota.
Oh, and he's coming, too. That team's going to be real strong. And I'll say one more thing about Fred. And Fred's a nice guy. But when Fred got up there out of nowhere on Sunday night, and stood on the top of the mountain and started talking about how Isaiah Thomas was carrying the ball. And everyone is I'm looking around the room at everyone in the press. I was like, am I the only one that's not paying attention? Has this been an issue? Because I haven't heard word one about this. And what are you talking about? Isaiah Thomas is carrying the basketball. He's doing what every other NBA player is doing. I asked Schuster, who I'm sitting right next to, who's been at every single Bulls game since 62. Did you know that Fred was angry about carrying the basketball? He's like, I didn't. And neither did anyone else. Like, it was like, what? And he's sitting there last night doing like he's carrying the ball. Dude, they all carry the ball. What are you talking about? Don't embarrass
yourself. It's the NBA. There's another United Center tenant who waved goodbye to a very key player, someone who means a lot to Hawk fans. I feel like we should mention him before we get out of here.
Let's do that next. 720 WGN.
So in a few weeks, we're going to be in Lindenhurst. It's the next stop on the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate, and we'll be broadcasting live from RJ's Eatery in Lindenhurst, up by me, Carm. Come out to...
I'm excited. 1913 East Grand Avenue. Might as well go to Great America, too.
This will be Saturday, May 20th from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. They'll be offering a discount to listeners during our broadcast. You can visit the events page at WGNRadio.com for more details. The WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour is presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands. And a couple of news items we got to get to. Just came out, big baseball story, former White Sox outfielder traded to Washington for a bunch of good prospects.
Yes.
Adam Eaton has a torn ACL.
Terrible.
Ouch. That's
after getting hurt yesterday.
No bueno for Adam Eaton or the Washington Nationals. It's not terrible for the Cubs, I guess.
Think Dusty knows it yet?
That's not nice.
And we wanted to say goodbye to Lamont native Blackhawk backup goalie Scott Darling. The Blackhawks and Stan Bowman, knowing that they weren't going to keep Scott Darling, traded him rather than get nothing. They got a third-round pick in the draft from Carolina Hurricanes. And Carolina, you're saying, well, he's a free agent. Why would Carolina trade for him? Because they get the exclusive rights now to deal with him for 2 months. July 1 is a trading is the deadline for is when you can start going after free agents. So between now and July 1, Carolina is the only team that could talk to Scotty Darling and his agent and try to bring him over. And, boy, Darling has been fantastic. He's a great story off the ice. He fought demons, and he made it through teams in Louisiana playing hockey there in Florida. And he's been just tremendous in goal for the Blackhawks.
That's actually one of the greatest trades in NHL history. You know that you're not going to sign him, and you were able to get a third-round pick, which in the NHL draft is, I mean, that's decent value. For a guy, I think that's impressive, and I assume that Carolina will sign him, too. You don't give up a third-round pick and not do it.
Yeah, try.
Right.
Eddie Lack can't be happy, right?
But doesn't that even help his Darling's leverage even more? Like, hey, you just traded.
He's going to get
for
paid.
Me.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, you know, show me the money.
You're going to look dumb.
We talked to Lee Steinberg last week. Show me the money.
Darling was the 74th highest paid goalie out of 75. He was making south of 600 grand, which is peanuts in NHL land. He is going to get paid a lot more. And the point why I'm bringing it up, I think I said this once before, perhaps, the Blackhawks had the cheapest, one of the best backup goalies in the league.
Oh, yeah.
So they're going to have to pay either A, more for a credible backup, or B, they're going to have somebody around that money that's not going to be as good as Scott Darling, you would think. So it does impact them.
Yes, and Scott Darling, not only was he great this year when Corey Crawford had his appendix out, but in 2015, when Crow got shelled in Nashville, Scotty Darling won 3 games for the Blackhawks, and they went on, of course, to win the Cup.
Plus, he was a great Cub fan, and he loved Javi Baez and all of that. So thank you to Coach Broadway from North Carolina A&T for jumping on. Also, thank you to the head coach of Ashland University.
Coach Owens.
Coach Owens. Adam, great work all week long with the draft. Phenomenal job.
Yeah, strong.
Thank you. I'll be back tomorrow.
Back on the show tomorrow at 3. Harry, great to see you. Thank you for the apples and your personality and your lovely sense of everything. We didn't get to talk about my dancing, but maybe we can do that off the air.
I hope so.